Good morning. Let's begin by reading from Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 through verse 23. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Let's pray. Lord, as we seek to teach our children how to listen and seek to teach them communication skills that accompany listening, and as we ourselves learn to communicate better and learn to listen, may we do it all as unto Thee and not unto men, knowing that we shall receive the reward of the inheritance by grace, for we serve the Lord Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've come to the last of five little mini sessions here, little adult classes on listening. I envisioned when I began there would be two, and the two has grown into five, so I hope you're not tired of it, but this should be the last session on this subject this morning. We looked last time at the problem of listening at home and in society, and we said that a big part of the problem is that we haven't learned very good listening skills ourselves. We need to begin with ourselves. So we looked at listening skills, and then we looked at four good communication skills, and we were down to 2D. We have four more to go on that, and then we want to look at practicing listening skills through enjoyable activities and insisting on respectful obedience, and then a conclusion. So we pick up then at developing good communication skills, and we're at number five, or E rather, on our outline. The fifth one then is showing loving interest and gratitude. Showing loving interest and gratitude. How critical it is that when we as parents get our children around the dinner table, they're home now, we come home from work, we say hello to them, mom is busy, try to give a helping hand the last moment, get things on the table, get the drinks ready perhaps, or whatever we do, and we're all around the table, we ask a prayer, now what do? What an opportune time to communicate well. But I know what you're going to say, Dad. Man, I'm tired. I've just been working 9 hours, and 10 hours, and I've been talking to people all day long. Last thing I feel like doing is talking to my kids right now. Before you know it, your kids will be gone, and you'll wish you had them there at supper time to talk to them. So, harness a little bit of self-denial and start asking them questions. And you'll be surprised, if you make an effort, within 30 seconds, your tiredness will start dissipating. Besides, some food will start going to your stomach. That will help as well. And you'll be able to start dialoguing with them, and you'll be interested, because you're going to probe them, you see. And as you probe them, as you get involved in their life, you're actually teaching them how to listen and how to communicate with people. Not purposely, but indirectly. And that's beautiful. So, how do you do it? Well, I usually move, I try to move from the general to the specific. How was your day today, Calvin? Good. How was your day, Esther? Oh, good. How was your day, Lydia? Fine. Well, is that the end of the conversation? No, of course, I got to get more specific than that. But that question is good. It shows them that I care about their day. And even though they've said good to me about 450 times in a row now, there are a few occasions where I asked that question and they brought some trouble up right away. You know, I didn't have a good day and this is why. So don't take it for granted they're going to have a good day. There will be some bad days and it gives them a chance to vent themselves. Where do you go from there? Well, what was your highlight today? What was your favorite thing today? What did you learn in math today? What Bible story did you get today? What did you learn in social studies? These are just conversation picker-uppers, aren't they? Or did you play that intramural basketball game today? How'd you do? How'd it go? And you see, you begin to show interest. And then they'll listen better to you when you have something a bit negative to say to them. If most of your conversation is positive to them. If 90% of your conversation is positive and encouraging and caring, they'll be far more inclined to listen to the 10% that's negative. The last thing in the world you want to do is have your first conversation around the dinner table be about something negative. Don't do that. I've had many times in my life that I wanted to speak to one of my children about something that was negative. But I said to myself, I can't do it yet because I haven't had a block of positive time with them right in front of it. So I waited a couple days till I had some time to be with them. And then, after I'm speaking with them positively, get caught up on, well, what's going on at school, what's going on in their hobbies, what's going on in their eBay business, what's going on in the hunting world, what's going on in all kinds of things. After I got caught up on it, then I could say, what about this? Let's talk about this a moment. You know, I love you dearly, but this... You know, this is troubling your mother a little bit. Let's talk about this. And you see, then there's a much more susceptible frame of mind. So here's my point. When you show loving interest and gratitude, 90% of your conversation naturally will be positive. But make conscious efforts to draw these things out of your children. So that you show you're a really good listener and you really care about them and you just love them to pieces. You just love them so much. And tell them that every day. I don't care if they're 18 years old. They love to hear it. That's part of showing caring interest too. Just right out of the blue. I love you. You are really special. You know what? I got three of the most wonderful kids in all the world. That is great. Sometimes I'll say it through my wife while they're present. Mom, don't we have just wonderful children? We just love them, don't we? And they're kind of a little embarrassed, a little, but they love it. Sometimes I tell them directly. But every day I tell them, every one of them, I love them. I love them. Of course I love them. Well, why wouldn't I tell them? Why wouldn't I want to build things up? So you be positive and you show interest and then you show gratitude. Show gratitude for the smallest thing they do for you. I grew up that way. My mother was thankful for, if we got her a glass of milk from the refrigerator, she'd thank us for it. The smallest thing, she'd say thank you. So I think for all of us kids, that just is kind of a natural thing. maybe we don't have as much meaning to it sometimes because it was so natural. That's the way we grew up. But I'm appalled sometimes when I'm in other families and people don't thank. People do things for that. Where's the thank you? Where's the politeness? Where's the gratitude? And what really, you know, that's a pet peeve of mine. When a mother makes a whole meal and spends an hour and a half making a meal, and the father and the kids don't thank her for that meal, for that particular night, that's off my radar screen. I can't imagine how you couldn't thank someone for making a meal for you. But it also goes for you women to thank your husbands regularly for working all day. And let your children hear that. You see, you've got to set a tone of gratitude. Sometimes women say, well, you didn't thank me for the meal now two nights in a row. And how could you do that? But you forgot, you haven't thanked your husband for working a full day for 3 weeks in a row. So let the attitude of gratitude permeate your home. Just permeate everything. Your conversation. Your hugs to your wife in the presence of your children. Yes, in the presence of your children. So they feel this attitude of appreciation, this love that just floods your home so that your kids know you love them. You know they love you. They express it back. Don't express it for a while. I'll just say to them, I mean, it sounds maybe selfish, but I'll say, so what do you think of your dad? Oh, we love him. That's great. You see, you keep that love on the front burner all the time. And when you develop an atmosphere of love, you can communicate so much better. Because they know then when you approach them about something that's maybe not what they want to hear, and you do it lovingly, tenderly, they know that you mean it for their best welfare. Now, this attitude of gratitude will spill over into your children. And it's beautiful to see. We had a family. I'll try to keep this. It's a positive thing. So my mom always said, you can speak about people as much as you want, as long as what you say is positive. But I'll try not to mention names, but you might figure it out. But that's okay because it's positive. But we had a family who was here in the seminary. And I can't tell you how grateful they were for everything. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal. In their prayers, in their conversation, I don't know how many times they thanked me for seminary training. And it was really wonderful. I said, we can really learn from these people. They are just filled with gratitude. But then you just saw it right in their kids. Kids were just as grateful. So one day I was upstairs. I was the only one in the home for some reason, which is very unusual, but the back doorbell rang, and so I kind of sighed and went all the way back down, you know, steps down to the door, and I was trying to get over to the seminary and do some work, and so I was a little irritated, and here was this one of their children standing there. Dr. Beakey, sir, may I borrow a ball from you? Well, yes, help yourself. The balls are there. Oh, thank you very much, sir. Oh, you're welcome. So he takes the ball, he leaves, and I go back upstairs and finish doing whatever I had to do, and the doorbell rings again. So I go all the way down, and here's the boy again. Sir, I don't think I properly thanked you sufficiently for the ball. You got to be kidding me. I mean, this was over the top. But where did he learn this from? All right, so number 6, speak specifically and clearly. Specifically and clearly. Here's the way many parents do it. Johnny, clean up your room in the next 20 minutes. Or you're not going to go away with us tonight. And Johnny knows he's very well going to go with them. He's never been held back ever yet, even though he didn't always obey all the conditions before. So he knows it's just an empty threat. He gets up in his room and he looks around and, there's a couple of pans laying on the floor. Picks those up. Job is done. Mom comes up 10 minutes later. Now, I told you to clean your room. I did clean my room. Boom, 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 boom. What's the problem? Mom has a different vision of a clean room from Johnny. Where does the problem lie? Partly in Johnny? Probably. Probably more things he could have cleaned up. But partly in Mom, too, because Mom did not give clear directions. Now, it doesn't mean you have to do that 1,000 times in a row, but you do have to train your children what a clean room looks like. So, go clean your room. Make sure that all your clothes are put away. Make sure that everything is off the floor. And make sure whatever else you want to fill in. So there's specific directions. Maybe even go to the room and show them. This has to go away. This has to go away. This has to be put away. You have to do that several times. Then they understand what a clean room is. Did you ever tell them exactly what a clean room is? So specific directions. That's important. Speaking clearly. Reinforcing it. Sometimes if you think they didn't hear you clearly, or they didn't listen or concentrate very well, you say, pardon me, but I just want to be clear that you understood what I'm saying. Did you understand what I said? That you will clean your room and do this, this, and this by 20 minutes from now. You got it. You say it with a smile. They say, yeah, I heard you. Okay. So this will help foster specific habits of obedience. And what's important is that children get in the grain of that, in the mode of that, so that when they get old enough and they're thinking about getting married someday, their future spouse won't have the same problems. But they'll begin with a spouse that understands what obedience is all about. 7. Make eye-to-eye contact. Good communication is almost always eye-to-eye. That's true as a public speaker. That's why we just don't read a manuscript up there. Try to look out. But it's also true in family life. And often what happens is that small children can be so engrossed in their activity, especially small boys. Girls and women seem to hear everything that comes their way, but we men are, more tunnel vision. So you need to make eye-to-eye contact to make sure that you're being heard. That's even true of we men, isn't it? I mean, I can sit in a living room chair and be reading something, and my kids can be talking all around me and my wife, and they can actually be talking to me and I never hear a word. It's just completely tuned out. And it's not selective listening. It's just the way I am. I can concentrate. I can concentrate with all kinds of activity around me. That's the way a man is built, I think. I have no trouble on a plane when people are moving all around. Even when people are walking, I have no trouble just concentrating fully on what I'm doing. And it's hard for me to understand that my wife can't sit and read and she wants to look around and see all these people moving around. It functions differently than I do. So she's got to understand me in the home. I've got to understand her in the home. And we all have to understand each other. And the best way to do that is to make eye-to-eye contact. So when you want to tell your husband something, you want to tell your children something, you get at their level. So that's even when we shake hands Sunday night after church. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if a child comes and shakes my hand, I'm not going to shake a child's hand like this and say blessing to that child. I'm going to go right down here. Blessing to you. Look them right in the eye. So I want to communicate. I wish you'd be blessed today. And as parents, when our children are very young, we need to do that. Sometimes we need to get down on our knees and hold their hand, their face right in our hands and say, I love you very much. Now, what I'm going to tell you, would you please do this right now? Do you understand? Eyeball to eyeball. Far more effective than saying, Johnny, would you please go clean your room? Eye to eye contact. It also teaches your children good communication skills. Now, cultures are different here. In African cultures or Asian cultures, it's eye to eye contact is different because there's certain things that you don't give each other too long eye contact, maybe, or whatever. But in American culture, which is very open, you're expected to give eye-to-eye contact. Maybe not in the streets of New York, but just about everywhere else. And so what you do is you're teaching your children, when you look them in the eyes regularly, you're teaching them to be a good listener and to look other people right in the eyes. And when you see people look you right in the eyes, and they respond intelligently back to you, you immediately think, don't you, wow, this person's got good communication skills. This person can relate well. So, this is very important. Number 8, correct privately. Correct privately. We read in Matthew 18 that if your brother sins against you, you show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. That's true in parenting as well. I had to learn that the hard way. I learned it when my oldest was 3.5 years old. And actually said to me that he was sad because I punished him in front of his sister. At the same time, I was reading a book called Shepherding a Child's Heart. And the book said, always, always punish your children privately. And so the two things came at me, wham, wham, at the same time. I'm glad I wasn't later, but he was 3 years old at the time. So the last 15 years, I've always, always, when I admonish my children, done it privately. So they don't hear, they don't get ashamed in front of each other. It's far more effective, they get far less defensive, and they hear me much better when I'm alone in a room with them and sit right beside them. When I admonish them, I always sit very close to them. Usually put my hand, their leg, or my arm around them. Talk to them eyeball to eyeball. Seriously, lovingly, softly. And tell them what needs to change. How are we going to do this? How are we going to change this? How are we going to change? I'm willing to help you. What shall we do? As they get older, you bring them into the discussion. Younger, you say, this is what we're going to do. You tell them what needs to be done. But as they get into their teen years, bring them into the decision-making process. And, sometimes their decisions won't be acceptable, of course, and you need to guide them and you need to say no. But that's all right. It all helps them to learn to communicate better as they get older. All right. So those are some communication skills that will help foster good listening in your home. Now, what about practicing listening skills through enjoyable activities? What does that mean? Well, this applies particularly when your children are very young, I think. You want to get them to listen better. Make a game of it. Play some different games or do some different activities that will help them. Here's a couple of them. I give you 5 of them here. Number 1, read to your children a lot. And then ask them, read a paragraph and ask them, what did you hear? So they respond right away, what they've just heard, did they really listen? That will really get their mind in the habit of listening. That's important in family worship too. We grew up, my dad read to me after every single meal. It's sad to say the first 14 years of my life, I tuned it out, probably 10,000, well, you have 10,000 meals in 14 years. How many meals do you have in 14 years? I tuned out every one of them, I think. It's sad. But he never asked me a question after he read. And don't ask questions like, you know, how many times does it say such a word in this chapter? I mean, maybe for a 3-year-old or 4-year-old, okay. But they're not listening to any substance. Try to ask them to listen to something that has substance. We're going to be reading Luke 13, children, and it's going to talk about repentance. Tell me when I'm done reading what it says about repentance. And you read Luke 13. Sometimes ask them the question ahead of time. Sometimes ask them the question behind time. But read and ask questions. That's an excellent way to develop their listening skills. Number 2, develop their listening skills as they get older by teaching them that listening is something that involves not just your eye-to-eye contact, not just what comes out of here, but your whole body language. You actually teach your children. When they sit in family worship, if they're lounging around, they're communicating something with their body language. And show them that people are always communicating something. If people kind of move away from you as you talk, they really want to get away. That's their body language. Train them in that. That helps them in social skills, helps them to communicate with you better as well. Explain to them how fast they talk, how fast they read, the rate of speech, the shift of the tone of their voice. It all communicates. Sometimes you have to point out, you know, you just said that with some irritation in your voice. And that's not acceptable. You don't talk to your mother that way. No irritation in your voice. Only respectful. She's your mother. See, I'm not only correcting him and reaffirming my wife right there, but I'm also training him for how he will one day talk to his wife. No irritation. So, that can be helpful. Number three, repetition. Play the game of repetition. Ask your child, what did I say? Or maybe even make a game of it. You play the Chinese, was it a Chinese game? What do you call this game? Where you whisper something in someone's ear and you go around five people and the last person is supposed to say what the first person said. What? Help me out. Telephone. Play telephone. Telephone? Is that what it's called? Oh. That's a game, and that can help sharpen listening skills. And say, family, let's try to go around the whole family, and let's see if we can get it exactly right at the end. Kind of a fun thing. Another thing you can do is to use questions to clarify and to reflective listen. That's kind of a fun thing, too. You can say, okay, let's practice our listening skills. Mrs. Van Kempen here. She's going to tell me about her day, and I'm going to draw it out of her. And I'm not going to let her just get away with saying she had a good day. Okay? So we go back and forth. And you say something about your day, and I reflective listen. And I say, oh, so you felt this way. And you say, yeah. And then you bring out a few more thoughts, you see. And I'll say, oh, so at the end of the day, you felt this way. And you say, yeah. And then you feel like I'm understanding, you see. And so you tell me more, and you tell me more, and you tell me more. And where you build a relationship of trust and love and openness through reflective listening, you should be able to keep very open relationships. Children differ, but you should be able to keep very open relationships with all your children. Granted, one child will be a little more closed in certain areas, and you've got to back off a little bit. That may happen. Tailor your conversations to your individual children. But learn to know them well enough that you can openly reflective listen them and have them reflective listen other people. One of the problems of many children, almost all children, as they enter into teen years, is they're kind of like they're adults, and yet they're kind of like children as adolescents, right? 15, 16. And what you often see is that in terms of listening skills, they're still like children. But parents could help them out a lot. And so when they're with each other, even when they're with their friends sometimes, they hardly say hello to each other. They hardly say goodbye to each other. They don't know skills. They don't know how to ask each other questions, to draw each other out. And it's our responsibility to try to help them in these areas. All right. I think that's what I wanted to say in that area. Now, finally, insist on respectful obedience. Insist on respectful obedience. I have two things to say here. Number one is you have to remember that you have to cultivate in your children the respect they need for the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. And you don't do that by saying, you've got to honor your father and mother. You do it by saying, I'm your father. This is God's appointed role to me. I'm going to try with all my heart, because I love you so much, I'm going to try with all my heart to rule this family. I'll have shortcomings, many of them. Please forgive me for them. I'm going to try with all my heart to rule this family as God wants me to rule, because I'm ruling in His place. Sometimes that means I'll have to punish you. I don't like that. It's hard on me to do that, but I want to do what pleases God, because I want your best welfare. In turn, children, I need your respect and your love and your honor. That's how you have to talk to them. The Heidelberg Catechism does it in a beautiful way. It gives us really five words. This is 4A here on the outline. It gives us the word honor, which really means to respect, to have internal respect for your parent. It gives the word love. We are to love those in authority, and especially our parents. Children are to obey out of love. So we had this little motto in our family for many years. We haven't used it for a long time. Mary may have to help me out on this. Obey sweetly. Sweetly, completely, and immediately. Because this is the reflection of love. You love us, so if there's a hesitation, say, obey sweetly, immediately, completely. So, you know, and they're like 7, 8, 9. I kind of make a sweet little game. Oh, they jump up, you know. Yeah. So that's the second word. Third word is faithfulness. Faithfulness. They are to be faithful to you. You are the parent. And when you earn this respect, you can remind them of that from time to time. We'd like to see a little more faithfulness so we can trust you in all situations. Submission. Submission is the fourth word the Catechism uses. That too. You know, I don't like to say no to you, but in this particular case, I don't think this is the best for you. So I'm going to have to say no. I don't want you to go to this place tomorrow night. Oh, but Dad, yeah, I know. Sometimes life is that way. We can't just always do what we want to do, but I'm sorry, but here's two reasons why I think it's not going to be good for you. So please be submissive to me on this. I mean your welfare. And then fifthly, finally, the Catechism says, do obedience. Do obedience, not undue obedience. If I commit my children, if I tell my children to sin, that's undue obedience if they obey me. They shouldn't obey me. Due obedience means I've given them a reasonable command, therefore they are to obey me. They're to listen, and they are to obey. Okay, conclusion. Oh, wait a minute. Second thought, I see. The second thought I had down here for 4B was, when you insist on respectful obedience, you take these five words, you try to implement them lovingly in your family, and you'll fail some, but generally, I think you'll succeed at getting it across why your children need to respect you because you're in the place of God and so on. But you've got to have some bite to it as well. So there has to be understood punishments. As clearly as your directions are, so clearly your punitive measures must be. If they don't clean the room, there will be a result. So you don't want to run your whole family in terms of behaviorism, but behaviorism has its role to play because of the corruption of the natural heart. So you need to have clear guidelines of what to do and clear guidelines of what the results will be if they don't do what you said to do. Okay, final conclusion is just a little story. I thought it was a beautiful story. There was a missionary who was in a certain country and he was looking for a word for obedience. And he couldn't find a word. So he didn't know how to convey the fifth commandment to the natives. And one day, a missionary was walking along, and his dog was behind him, and he whistled. And instantly, the dog ran to him, stopped at his feet. And the native saw it and said, "That's amazing. Your dog is all ear." And the missionary said to himself, "That's the word I'm going to use for obedience. All ear." Teach your children how to listen. and you'll have the battle of obedience mostly won. Let's pray. Lord, we thank Thee for our ears, and we pray that we may receive wisdom to teach our children how to hear, how to listen, and how to obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.